This is HPR episode 2647 entitled, More Quick Tips. It is hosted by Operator and is about 17 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, More Quick Tips for July Only Key and Nerf Guns.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Discounts around Toys R Us closing. I don't know when they're actually closing, but I'm just going to go over that. So it all started when I was at SunTrust, my former employer, and I had 6 employees I was managing. And I thought, you know, buying a few Nerf guns is the classic thing to do for a bunch of geeks. So I had purchased these 3-shot ones. It's a three-shot, like, handgun thing, and I'll say by far those are the best, because they're small, and it's not a big commitment to that. So, I will say by far, it's part of the InStrike series or whatever. I would say by far those are the best bang for your buck. They're small, and it's not overwhelming, and it's not this giant, huge, massive thing. The second one I'll say is overall the best. It's like a little Gatling gun thing, and there's other manufacturers besides Nerf, obviously, that manufacture these dart weapons. And there's also balls and large darts and arrows and all kinds of other projectiles, but we're going to focus more on the darts because that's what I purchased, 1 million of them, and I'll go over that. So the second one's like a little Gatling gun thing, and it's a handgun, basically a revolver of sorts, but the revolver part has about 8 or 6 darts in it, 8 darts, something like that. And it's overall by far the best. You cock the thing back, and then I think you push it forward, and then you fire the gun, and then in that effort, when you pull the trigger, it kind of helps it spin the barrel for the next round. And you can pretty much rapid fire pretty quickly with that, and it's got good speed and decent accuracy. That was one that I had purchased originally with the three-shot ones. So I apologize for the random phone interruptions here on the audio. Anyways, also driving in the car. The next one I'll say from that is really co-worker at my current job. I had purchased a couple of guns, and the revolver I purchased actually with this current position. So I didn't have the revolver at the other job. I just bought a bunch of random ones, the 3-shot ones, like 4 3-shot ones. And then there was a Star Wars one on sale that was actually pretty slick. It was a 1-shot, I think, 1-shot dart deal. It also shot more than one. So I think it was the same kind of revolver setup, if I remember correctly. I know you could shoot more than one with the Star Wars one. And it was like a revolver thing too, I'm pretty sure. Anyways, so the last one that I recently purchased was at Toys R Us. Toys R Us is, everybody knows, is going out of business, and they're marking everything down and putting everything on sale. We went down there, most things were 50% off, and this is as of June 2nd. Everything was kind of marked down to 50%, so I kind of figured, you know, everything I was looking at was kind of 50% off. The Legos were still obviously not 50% off, but anyways, I figured I was going to get at least 50% on whatever I was buying. But again, with Toys R Us, and that's always been the case, and I knew better, that you have to be very careful what you purchased and what is on sale, what's not on sale, and they have specific items. And it's like anywhere else, like a department store will say something's 50% off except for these brand items, which is just kind of a thing, something you have to watch out for. So I went there, and there was a big, huge Star Wars gun thing that, you know, spun around, and it was, like, air-driven. I thought it was air-driven at first, because when you pull the trigger, it made, like, a wind sound, like something was, like a fan was spinning, right? So I was like, oh, this is cool. It's, like, wind-driven, and then I guess somehow the round gets it, the air dart gets in there, and it shoots it. But it's actually two little, two little heavy, almost, rock, or I think they're heavy rubber rollers that spin. Now, you don't want to get one of these weapons for accuracy reasons, because from what I can understand and tell, it doesn't shoot accurately at all. It catches the dart, throws it down the barrel, which is ridiculously long for what it is, and I guess that kind of helps it kind of get straight, but it's actually bored, believe it or not. The barrel has got the spiral bore to it. I don't know the name of any of these guns, but it's not really super important. But the idea there is that you want to stay away from the roller ones. You want to stay closer to the air-based ones. I haven't tested any of the non-Nerf ones. But there was also another one that a coworker brought in that was the little balls, looked like mini golf balls. And the idea with those is the golf ball ones are designed to obviously move through the air better, just like a golf ball would, and be more accurate. And they were pretty accurate. They were almost deadly accurate, and they were very fast, and probably hit you a little harder than the darts did with any of the other guns. So they had the big, huge, you know, competition style guns, you know, a red versus blue type of gun for those. And I think that's part of the Instrike series or whatever. But the little balls, I didn't get one of those because I already had a bunch of darts. And I'll go into the darts while I'm talking about it. The darts, of course, you purchase darts, and it's like $7 for like a pack of 12 or something ridiculous. And then if you wander around the store, you'll find, at least at Toys R Us, you'll find like a, you know, box of 200 for, you know, $15 or whatever it is. What you want to do is actually order them online through a third party that kind of makes them. If you want a huge, massive amount for a low price. I think I got like 100 for I don't know how much, or 200 for I don't know how much. It was basically half the price of whatever Toys R Us's cheap darts were. And, you know, you had your one out of, you know, one out of 20 was kind of goobered up, and you had to, you know, pick some glue off of it. But they're pretty cheap. The ones I searched for were called Koosh. They were Koosh darts. I don't know where I got them. I obviously think I got them on eBay. But the Koosh darts are pretty good. They're like all the darts. You roll over them or you squish them, and they're kind of done. You have to kind of still be careful with them, just like you would any of the other darts. The balls, not so much. You know, you can shoot the balls and then step on them or kind of roll over them, and they kind of maintain their shape, whereas the darts are made out of foam, and they get squished, or when they get squished or rolled over with an office chair or whatever, they'll take damage. But they're not as violent, and they don't bounce around like the balls do. So if you're just in the office, you probably want to use darts for the office, because you don't want to like have it bounce off and almost hit somebody's face, which is what I've done. So the darts kind of hit the target, and then they generally fall down from there. They'll ricochet off something. Anyways, I'll just leave it at that. You know, my experience is, you know, you want to do the Gatling gun things the best. They have these huge, ridiculous guns that are all driven by the same core, principles, air, or these little roller things. And there's also, like little bungee cord based ones where you can actually modify the tension on the bungee cord cable, right, and make it shoot faster, right? The thing I did with this stupid Star Wars one, that was a giant Star Wars weapon thing, it was really slow. It was two or four double A's, and I just got the drill tool out and stuck a 9-volt battery in there.
Excuse me.
And it seemed like it was gonna make it better, and it seemed like it was shooting faster, but it's not any more accurate at all. It's pretty much all over the place as far as accuracy goes. And I haven't been super happy with that purchase, and it ended up being like 40% off instead of the 50% off, obviously, because anything you actually want is not going to be on the sale of what you think it is, because that's how they design sales, obviously. Anyways, that was a little longer than I wanted to run, but I kind of rambled on a little bit in that regard. But anyways, that one will help you out with your inner office nerf shenanigans.
Hello, this is Operator with another episode of Hacker Public Radio. This one's going to be pretty short. I actually recorded this and then realized how the software kind of works from what I can understand. So we have this OnlyKey thing. The problem with OnlyKey is that if you damage your key, you're basically stuck copying and pasting your passwords all day until you get a new key. You can also alternatively somehow manually back up your passwords in a third party piece of application, which is also kind of annoying. I saw some CSV stuff related into some of the videos of people dumping in CSVs, and I guess that's how they did it before. And it looks like the method they prefer here is to use a backup key. So you can go online and generate a key or whatever. And I will create a new key just because for this assessment. So you generate your key, and it wants to be in the PGP, even though it says PIM format, which I don't really understand, because PIM format looks different than this PEM.PEM file. You want to basically, what you're doing is you're creating a backup certificate for the OnlyKey to use when it restores and creates backups. So once you've created this key, you can say save to, so you go to the keys tab, and I'm trying to be more verbose because this is a audio podcast. So once you've opened up the OnlyKey application, you've unlocked the device, gone through the stupid wizard, and you're ready to dump or back up your keys, you go to the keys tab, and first you want to create a backup key to store to your device, and that's what the set as backup key. So you can save to OnlyKey. You have to provide a password, passphrase, so you can't not provide a passphrase. I don't know what happened there. I think you have to be in config mode for that. So first you got to get in config mode. It says hold button 6, 4, 5 seconds after you've unlocked the device. So first thing we do is unlock the device. We hold the button for 6 seconds. And it will turn off. Then we unlock the device. And our key in the flashing red. So once we're in the flashing red state, we can take our PGP key and dump it to the device. So saved only key, primary key, which I don't know the difference between primary key and sub key. So successfully set RSA key. So I guess you can save up to 4 keys in here, one of which is our backup key. So we set our backup key. So at this point in time, I can basically paste in, by getting out of config mode, I can hold down the Win button and paste out a backup file. Which I don't really get the point of this whole backup data button. I don't really understand why it wants you to do this, because you can do this anywhere, right? So what we've done now is we've dumped our key, our private key, our PGP key, and into the OnlyKey, and it's stored in there. So now it knows what to use to back it up and restore. What we can do now is we can just open up a notepad and do this really anywhere. So once we can get out of the config mode by unplugging the device, plug it back in, and then we're going to hold down this one key, or actually once we unlock the device first, obviously. So we're going to unlock the device. It's red. So we hold down the one key, and it's gonna dump out this backup file thing. So now we're actually dumping out our backup key. And, you know, say we go through that whole process and we're done. What we do after that is we go back in. So say we have our backup key. We go back into the device. Go back into config mode, which allows you to read and write keys, basically. And to get into config mode, you have to unlock the device, hold down the 6 button, let it go. 3, 4, 5, 6. Then unlock the device yet again. And then we should be blinking red, which we're not. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Now we're blinking red. So now we're at the point where we're back into config mode and we want to restore. So the way we restore our data is we put our key, we paste our key in here that we generated, right? And say set as backup key. I don't even know if you have to do that. Put in your passphrase. Then make sure you're blinking red. You're in the config mode, right? And then you want to obviously load the backup file that you had saved, or I guess you could paste it in here. I guess not, though. It wants to restore by file. And then you click the restore key, and it will blink yellow. It's blinking red. And then when you hit the restore key, backup file sent to only key, which didn't look like it did anything. Okay, now it's gone. So it starts out, takes it a second, then starts blinking yellow. Then it will blink green, and that means it's done. And at that point, you can pull the device out, plug the device back in, and then obviously unlock the device. So at this point, I've restored my keys, and I should see all my keys. So we're good to go. It's a little strange process. The cool part about that is the way it's set up is that whenever you want to do backups, you can just hold down the one key and paste that in your key file. So as your encryption key stays the same, you can restore your backup using this is a different kind of later. You can restore your backup a lot easier, or you can do backups a lot easier by just holding down that one key. So every time you change your password, you don't have to redo this whole keys pasting process and whatever it is there. So when you change your password, you just hold down that one key for 6 seconds, so let go, and it'll start typing out your backup file, and you can keep your backup file up to date. So I get it. I see how it makes sense to it makes it easier to back up, because you can just hold down that one button and arbitrarily back up your stuff. And then when you need to restore on another device or whatever, you have the latest and greatest backup. So anyways, I hope that helps somebody out. Get another key. They're relatively cheap, like $40, but your password will never be cracked ever again. And that's the whole idea of it. It can get a little bit frustrating to get used to, but it's a lot easier than remembering passphrases and typing them out every time. Cool. Hope everyone has a good day and helps everything out.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.